This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Acts, the 20th chapter, has been our text for this series. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You got to keep in mind, Paul, when he was writing this, was writing to people who he loved very dearly, and he was thinking, this was the last time I'm going to see you. And so he's talking to them. He said, I want you to have a relationship with God. You know, as a pastor, I can tell you that that's my number one thing, is that you would have a relationship with God, that you can have a genuine relationship with God that grows, that increases. That's my desire. So I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do something. It's able to build us up on the inside and to give us an inheritance. And we find out so many things that God has done for us, but if we don't know about it, we don't have the ability to receive that in our life. So that's a great prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. It's a prayer we pray for you guys. One of the prayers that I often pray for the church is found in Colossians, the first chapter. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding, that's in Ephesians. Colossians said that you would fill them with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, that they would be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are good things. And so, good way to pray. By the way, that's a good way to pray for other Christians and for those who are believers. Father, fill them with the knowledge of your will. When the more we know God's will and the more we're solid in God's will, it produces good things in our lives. So as we've been talking about the word of his grace, we talked last week about and kind of got off on a, it's funny, I got off on a what I call a pastoral rant about what kind of input we're receiving. And interesting, the very next day, I got an email from a writer, and I listened to what he says. He brings in a lot of, it's interesting, he brings in a lot of scientific truths that the Bible has already said, but he brings science into it. And he was encouraging his readers to lay off so much what he called celebrity gossip, internet news, and low-value information. And he was saying that these are things that you can get simply caught up with, and you can watch and spend time with. And I don't know about you, but it's so easy. I'm amazed at how the internet can blow hours more than everything I've ever seen. If you ever sat down and you're just going to look something up, and 2 hours later you're like, what have I just done? And so it can take time. And a lot of it is really, some of it is just worthless. Well, it's kind of like cotton candy for your soul. You ever cotton candy? It's all big, and it's just all big, and you look like, wow, that's a lot of cotton candy. But it boils down to about a little bit of that, and it's pure sugar. And you know, sometimes do you really need to know who are the 20 Hollywood actresses who look horrible now? You ever seen those? You click down and said, you won't believe how this actress looks now. You're like, I need to see how she looks now. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Isn't that horrible? That didn't help you at all, but just saying. Anyway, we talked about that. It's interesting. Last night I went to we have a great ministry here in our restoration and guidance on Tuesday nights. It's called Turn. And Dave and Ann Ralston do a great job with that, and they really do. And it's created a very accepting, warm community of people who are dealing with addictions. And I heard some great testimonies last night. One of them was a real animated lady who got up and stood. She said, I've been fasting some things. And Dave asked her, said, what are you fasting? And she said, well, I'm fasting Facebook. She said, it was hard. She said, and then I thought she said something very interesting. She said, it was hard for the first week. She said, but then, she said, I kind of got past it. And she said, he said, well, what are you doing with the extra time? She said, I've just been getting into the Word. Amen. I'm sitting in the back going, here we go, here we go. She said, I got one more week and I'm off of it. I want to stand in the back and go, stay on it. Just stay on it. Because if you're dealing with things, you need input that will help you. If you're dealing with, well, I always tell people, man, if you're dealing with hell around you, you need a good dose of heaven in you. And so it's, I wanted to say, but I wasn't invited, so I just kept my mouth shut and stayed in the back. Last week, we also talked about keeping your heart full of grace. So let me just kind of recap that real quickly, and then I'll show you why I want to do that. Colossians 3rd chapter, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let your heart, you see, when your heart's full, it'll flow out of you. And he said, put the word of Christ in you in abundance. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, we read that and we listen, we take it like it really is an option. And I understand it is an option. You know, no one's going to make us do it. But I was reading Psalms, I jumped ahead, and I'm reading Psalms 1 today. One of my favorite Psalms said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the ungodly, when the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And then it says, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bears fruit in its season. Its leaf won't wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I thought, man, that's a pretty good deal. That you're consistent. You're growing. He said, it's the person that says, I'm going to go a different path. I'm going to walk a little bit differently. And so we say things about letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We hear that sometimes and we go, oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that's probably a good idea. I might ought to do that. But it's an option. Now, my question is, what if you woke up tomorrow morning and you went out to get yourself some coffee and the Lord Jesus is sitting at your table? And he said, hey, would you sit down? You go, sure. He said, I need you to do something for me. What? You say, what, Lord? Whatever. He said, I need you to let the word, my word, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourself and singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And he smiled and said, would you do that? You would look at him and go, no. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. Oh, don't need to pray. You're here. No. How many of you know you go, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will do that. I will do that. I will do that because it's important. And I think one of the things that's so easy to do is we read the Bible and we think, oh, that's a nice suggestion. That's a good thing. But actually, it'll do something for you. Paul said the word of God's grace will build you up. It'll make you strong on the inside. Do you realize you can get stronger on the inside than all the junk that's going on around you on the outside? You know, a lot of you are thinking, well, has life gotten easier or have the problems gone away? And what you realize is you're handling things better now than you used to. And if you heard me share that, where the Lord shared with me on that plane one time, and I was thinking all the stuff I had to do, and the Lord said, you don't need less pressure, you need more strength. And so as we get stronger, it makes the difference. He said, well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, do people even know when I say that? Do we even know how that works? So let me just talk just a little bit tonight about putting grace in your heart. It's 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 15. Paul is writing to Timothy. He loves Timothy. Timothy's like a son to him. He says, Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Now, here's the thing. He said, meditate on these things. The word meditate in the Bible is not an Eastern religious thing. It's actually been around for a long time. And to meditate means you put it in two places. When you meditate on Scripture, you'll take a Scripture and you put it in your mind and you put it in your mouth. And what you put in your mind and what you put in your mouth gets in your heart. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here, be honest. How many of you have ever had someone say something to you, someone that you loved or someone that you had a relationship with, they said something to you and it really hurt you? And then they said it and it just kind of went, oh. But it didn't stop there. You kept thinking about it. And maybe you talked to somebody about it. And you talked to somebody about it. And then you talked to somebody or you had something happen and it got in your thoughts and you said something. I was talking with a lady one time who'd come into training for our staff. This was years ago. And she sat down and she asked me some questions. And all of a sudden, she hit one question, but it sparked me. And I said some things and I was emphatic about it. And she looked back, she said, whoa. She said, that obviously got in you. How many of you know that there are things that people have said. Now, how many of you know somebody could say something to you and you don't care much about their opinion, and they say something to you and you're like, whatever. You're going down the road. You're like, what? Come on, you know, like a little kid will come up to you. You know, little children are notoriously honest. They'll come up to you and you'll go, my daughter used to be bad about this. Somebody'd give her a kiss. She'd go, ooh, your breath stinks. Well, how many of you know if a child is 3 and says your breath stinks, 2 days later, you're not like, she said my breath stinks. It's the 3-year-old. You don't take it to hope. You don't take it to heart, hopefully. Boy, if you do, you're in trouble. But how many of you know someone who loves you says something, or someone you got a relationship with says something to you, and those words can cut, and they can get in you, and you can... And if I ask you, I said, has anyone ever said anything unkind? I bet if I sat down with each of us tonight, you said, you know, I remember one time when I was 13 years old and I was riding on the bus and they thought I was asleep and there were some girls on the bus talking about me. And I remember some of the things they said. And I stayed like I was asleep, but it hurt. Or my dad said something to me. My mom said something. My ex said something. These things can get in you. Well, if negative stuff can get in you, God's word can get in us. And so here's the thing. And the beautiful thing about it is we can put God's word in us intentionally. How? We think about it and we meditate. So you can take a verse and you can take it and you can just begin to speak it to yourself and quote it. Sometimes just in the course of my reading, I'll stop and just share and I'll go over a verse over and over again. What am I doing? I'm meditating. Why? Because I want God's word in my heart. Yes. And what's in my heart, it's doing something good in me. Remember, Jesus said it's like food. So there's that, putting grace in your hearts. So you can take a verse and don't take 15, take one and spend some time with it. Here's the second one. Be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now that's good. That sounds good. But what in the world does it mean? Be strong in the grace. So we're going to do something tonight. I need your help. This is audience participation. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to raise your hand if this question applies to you. How many of you could say, Alan, I know in my heart that Jesus is my Lord and I'm saved? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you could say, Alan, I know that I am a new creation in Christ? Okay, good. How many say, Alan, I know I have right standing with God? Ooh, a little slower. How about this one? Alan, I know that I am dead to sin. Okay. If you raised your hand on the first one, you can raise your hand on the last one. Because the Bible says, 2 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Right? That's true, right? You say, well, Alan, why did like 4 hands go up, that last one? Because we're conscious of the fact that we might have sinned before we got in here. I haven't talked to any of y'all guys. I'm just guessing here. I'm just guessing. But here's the deal. When I said, how many of you know you're saved? Hands went up. You know what that shows me? You're strong in the grace about salvation. Right? You're strong in that. That's an area you're strong in. But when I said how many of you are dead to sin, some of you are kind of like. And I know I didn't see some wife grab her husband's hand and throw it down. I didn't see that. But you say, well, why am I strong in one, not strong in the other? Because we've heard a lot about salvation. We've heard a lot about, you hear me say every week, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We know that. So we're there. But it got a little hesitant when I said, how many of you have right standing with God? And yet the Bible said, him that knew no sin was made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see my point? We're strong in salvation, so we're quick to say, yes, I'm saved. We're strong in being a new creation. We're quick to say that. But when it says righteousness, and we're thinking, I don't know, that's an area where we're not as strong in grace. Remember, we're talking about strong in grace, what grace has done for us. That's what Jesus did for us. And so if we've said, I'm saved, then if I said, how many of you are in right standing with God, hands ought to go straight up. I'm preaching it. Yeah, it's like foghorn leghorn. You built too low, son. I'm preaching it, but you're not catching it. You're going. No, you get this. And so you say, well, so what do I do? What do I do? Well, we need to hear about being dead to sin and alive to God. You know, the Bible said in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So could we say, if we're in Christ Jesus, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death? Here's the thing. Say, I don't even feel comfortable saying that. Well, we're not saying it because of what we see right now in our life. What we're saying it is because of what the Bible has said about us. And so we're saying it on the basis of His grace. Listen, when I first made Jesus my Lord, I was a little hesitant on the are you saved part. Alan, are you saved? And we were kind of like, but how many of you know that after you've heard that, after you've spoken that, after that's been in you for a little while, it's easier to say that. So you get stronger in grace. Does that make sense? So as we find out what grace says, whether or not you feel like, hey, this is really going on, this is real in my life, just go ahead and begin to say that now. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son, well-known Bibles, you know, the two sons, they said, you know, the youngest said, Father, give me what belongs to me. He divided unto them his living. The other one took off, wasted the money, they say, with wild living, with prostitutes and partying, partied all the money away, ran out of money, had a famine in the land. He was eating pig slop. And he said to himself, you know, I'm going to go back to my father's house. The servants do better than this. And when he came back, what did the father do? Let's read it here. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found and they begin to be merry. What a great story of grace. I thought, did that boy, did he deserve that? No. Was his father gracious to him? Yes. And so when the father put the robe on him, the son didn't go, I can't wear this and throw it off. When the father said, put a ring on his hand, he said, no, I don't deserve that. Don't put sandals on my feet. I'm just going to stay horrible. Listen, when the Bible says this is who you are in Christ, we need to stop rejecting the robe of righteousness. We need to stop rejecting the ring of authority. We need to stop rejecting the sandals of sonship and just say, Lord, if this is who you say I am, then this is who I am. So if you say the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, all of you who are dealing with addictions, all of you who are dealing with problems right there, that would be a wonderful thing to say. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of, and you just name whatever your problem is and say, thank you, Lord, I am free from this area. Will that help you? It'll help you a lot more than just saying, I'm just so addicted. I can't beat this. I can't shake this. I can't get over this. No, guys, this is where we live by faith. This is where we believe that what Jesus said about us is true. What God has done for us is true. And we just rise up and say, I'm going to agree with God, whether I see it in my life or not. But if you'll agree with Him, it'll show up in your life later on. If you disagree with Him now, you don't have to run up to everyone and go, I just want to let you know that the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Just hold on to that. You make that between you and the Lord. They'll see it later on. They'll go, how did you beat that? How did you kick that? You were so addicted. You want to say, I want to tell you, man, God is good and His law has made me free from this and has helped me. Now, Would that help you? Yes. What about, you say, well, I'm not addicted. Well, are you perfect? Every one of us deals with things. Every one of us deals with issues. Every one of us. You say, even you, Alan? Well, maybe not me. No, me, Joy, our children, people you know, the best Christian that you know. We all deal with stuff. But the key is not that we don't want to focus on the stuff. We want to focus on the grace. And Paul wrote Timothy, he didn't say, son, be strong in the fact that you got a lot of issues. Because this was the young man. Remember, Timothy was the young man that Paul said, hey, Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Timothy dealt with fear issues. And Paul had to remind him, hey, God didn't give you that. You have a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. He said, don't be ashamed of me and the testimony of the Lord. So Timothy had some things he was dealing with as well. So the key is, let's don't focus on the negatives and on our issues. Let's focus on what God's grace has done for us. So that a year from now, if I say, how many of you are dead to sin? Hands ought to shoot up and go, that's me. That's me. Thank God for His grace. Here's the last one. Be governed by grace. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Now this will tie in. Titus 2, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So it says grace teaches us to live differently. But then obviously if God's asking us to do that, then we're empowered to live differently. See, one of the things about the Lord is He's fair. He wouldn't ask us to do something that we don't have the capacity to do. And so if He said we can live this way, then we say, thank you, Lord, by your grace, I can say no to some things, I can say yes to you, and I can live a life that's free. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? We read Zacchaeus was the wee little man. And the wee little man was he. Zacchaeus was a tax collector who really wanted to see who Jesus was. And so he climbed up a tree, ran ahead, couldn't see him because of the crowd, climbed up a tree. And Jesus came right under the tree where Zacchaeus was. And we'll read the story right here. He said, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down today. I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Everyone hated tax collectors. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he's also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, here's what's interesting. Zacchaeus had Jesus come to his house. Jesus didn't force Zacchaeus to do anything. But Zacchaeus, grace touched his life. And when grace touched his life, Zacchaeus made a change. He began to live differently. See, that's what we're saying. So many times people have mistaken Christianity. And they think Christianity is a rigid set of rules and regulations that are impossible to keep. And people are trying to do it. And then they laugh and point at us when we fall and fail. And they say, well, you know, that's not real. It's not the real thing. No. That's not really what it is. Here's what Christianity is. Christianity says all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. But that Jesus came to the earth, lived a spotless life, died on the cross, and God raised him from the dead. And when we receive him, we become a new creation in Christ. Amen. And then it becomes a walk. It's a progressive walk. You say, well, Alan, what happens when we fall? Well, thank God we have another promise in his word that said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have these promises. So what we're saying is, I'm not trying to live right to make God accept me so I can get into heaven, so I can be okay with God. What I'm saying is, I was made right because I received what Jesus has done. And so that causes me to live differently. Someone asked me one time, they said, so you don't drink anymore? I said, no. They said, you don't smoke? You don't smoke weed anymore? I said, no. And they're looking at me like, man. So you had to do that? I said, no. I said, I got news for you. I said, I drink and smoke all the weed I want. They looked at me like, because they were interested in that brand of Christianity. They're like, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, I lost my want to. I got changed. I lost the want to. And so this is not a, so when he says grace that brings salvation has come, it teaches us to say no to some things. Yeah, your flesh will feel it. But you say no to some things because really in our hearts, there's nothing better than just living where you know you're right with God. That is such a good place to be. Don't you know, when you just know in your heart, Lord, I'm good with you and you're good with me, that is such a wonderful, peaceful place to be. And as a guy who's done drugs, as a guy who's partied, as a guy who's done about everything the world had to offer, I can tell you that living with him and a fellowship with him is so much better. It is so much more real and more lasting. And it makes all the difference. So it's like you Christians are struggling just to try to not do some things. No, we're learning just to say no to some things, but because we found out that living for God is the best way to go. It's a wonderful way. And as you know what? You say, well, you just think you're better than everyone else. No, 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 no. I think he's better than everyone else. And I just received what he's done for me. That's why in this church, we don't have the office of judge because none of us are qualified. And that's why we accept people with open arms. That's why my son-in-law said every time I come to this church, he said, y'all's church is the friendliest church I've ever been in. I said, because I didn't tell him this. He was telling this to Joy, but I'm thinking, we're a friendly church because we're a lot of people that realized if it wasn't for God's grace, we'd be messed up. But God's grace has come into our life, so we're just saying, hey, you want to get in on this. This is good. And whether you're white collar, blue collar, whether you're uptown, downtown, in or out, this is the best way to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for your grace and your goodness to us. We thank you for how much you have done for us in Christ Jesus, and we ask you that we would increase in that knowledge, that we would grow stronger as a people in your grace. And we'll give you all the praise for it because it works good things. It causes fruit to come into our lives, and we're so thankful for that. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Here's another question. If when I asked the very first question just a few moments ago and said, how many of you could say you know in your heart that you're saved? If you couldn't raise your hand, or if you were so hesitant about raising your hand, and maybe you say, yeah, I just don't know, I'm so far away from God, or I don't know that I've ever done that. But this evening, you say, I really want to be sure. I want to have that assurance. I want to know that in my heart. If that's you, we're going to say a prayer in just a moment. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front, but we're going to pray. And if that's you tonight, you say, Alan, I want in on that. Would you pray for me? I want to be sure. I want to know that I'm right with God. Would you pray for me? Would you quickly just slip up your hand across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to, but you just didn't. For some reason, you didn't lift it. Let me encourage you. We're going to pray a prayer together out loud. You can pray it with us. It's a heart prayer. It'll make all the difference in the world, all the difference in eternity. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer tonight. Thank you, Father, for those who've stepped out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, what a wonderful thing. For those who've come back home, thank you. You receive them with open arms. You bless them. You love them. You've got good things for them. And we give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.